everybody, to the greatest music NFT podcast show. I'm your host, Beaks Vibe, and this is your number one source for all things Web3 music and music NFTs. And this week, we have a special guest on the show, on the program. I want to welcome San Sound's very own community manager, Jacob. Jacob, welcome to the greatest music NFT podcast show.
Thank you for having me on, Beaks. It's been a pleasure, man. It's a lot of fun being on this space, and it's a lot of fun being in spaces with you.
So I think that's a great place to start off. So obviously, we know each other because we're in the crypto Twitter universe, on Twitter, on X, whatever you want to call it. And, you know, definitely are in the Twitter spaces and in that headspace and just kind of exploring everything within, you know, crypto, Web3, NFTs, music NFTs, Web3 music. So, you know, before we get into specifics with what you're doing, the project you're a community manager for and everything like that, you know, let's just take a temperature check. You know, we're in the bear market. There's a lot of craziness going on. You know, the past few episodes, I've kind of been highlighting, you know, I don't know if Pepe's a rug pull or, you know, you got crazy people like Pauly just doing nonsense. So what's your take just on the general sentiment of where we are today?
I feel like we're in a silent period, right? And this silent period is a time where people are built, projects are built. And it's that time where foundational things are being built. So I'm bullish on the fact that we're at this slow time, because there's always going to be a calm before that storm, right?
I love it. And this is, you know, exactly why I wanted to bring you on the episode and on the podcast, because that's such an optimistic take on, you know, you've always seemed to keep that kind of positivity with you. And I know it's easy to get bitter and it's easy to get cynical in this market and in this space. So, I mean, what's your thoughts on that? How do you feel like you stay kind of above, you know, letting kind of the emotions get the best of you and trying to persevere in this space?
I'll be honest, with these markets, markets are just a cycle, you know, it's just going to continue to repeat. And so I've been a part of a bull market in the past. I've been a part of I got in on the tail end of the last bear market. So I knew what it was like getting into Ethereum when it was like, you know, $200-$300 and, you know, not much going on in that space. And then I got to feel that hype and wave of excitement as we're going up and coming back down. So it's just a reminder that, you know, that next hype cycle, when it comes through, like, I'm just going to be better prepared because I stuck it out, you know?
I love it. I mean, sounds like that's how you're going to earn the stripes. And I mean, they talk about the OGs in crypto that kind of make it through one or two cycles, and they're able to always see kind of the promised land at the end of it all. But, you know, let's get into music a little more specifically. So, you know, obviously you're a community manager for a major Web3 music project, if I may even call it that. It may even be bigger than what I just called it. So, you know, why don't you fill us in a little bit? You know, tell us a bit about San Sound, your position, and just kind of where you see that project's, you know, position in Web3 music overall.
Yeah, I think the best way to describe San Sound in like a really short, concise way is that we're trying to revolutionize the way that music distribution works by changing the value creation process and kind of like relayering it a whole different way and proving out this thousand true fan theory that if, you know, I as an artist can make a piece of art, you know, write a piece of music, and if I have 1,000 fans who are willing to spend $100, you know, every year, it's $100,000. That's insane to me that, like, you know, when you think about the people getting 100,000, you know, listens on these major streaming platforms, and they're seeing, you know, pennies on the dollar just because they don't have the licensing rights to their music, right? They don't have that discoverability on those platforms because A&Rs get to choose, you know, who's popular and who's not. And so what we're trying to do is we're trying to build a whole ecosystem around empowering artists and really changing that model, flipping it, and giving that power back to the creators.
And you got to tell us a little bit about, you know, this handle you got on Twitter, this Jacob.Devin. So is this in any way tied in with one of the founders or co-founders of Sans Sound, Devin Marty?
Absolutely. We had a joke going on that Devin was going to buy his own domain and he's going to start giving out utilities for .Devin. So I had to be the first one. Still a work in progress, still a meme, but if enough people put .Devin in their bio, then we could force the devs to do something, right?
Well, yeah, that's amazing. And yeah, I know Sans Sound's doing big things. I know they've gotten some notoriety through Billboard and some major coverage. I know they've been trended on OpenSea with their, you know, their free mint when they first launched and just doing lots of great things. But, you know, take a step back from that. I mean, I know you got your hands in a million different things. I know, you know, you're not only part of a project in a formal way, but you're an artist and you're working on music and you're fans of, you know, artists that are in this space. So, you know, where do you see really like the practical value of music NFTs? Do you see it like where people talk about kind of the new version of collectibles? Do you see it kind of replacing Web 2? Do you see it being an addition to Web 2? Like, where do you see it all being with music NFTs and, you know, music industry stuff in general?
I would have to say NFTs in general are giving ownership back to the content creators, right? So I feel like it's cutting out a lot of the middlemen. And if you can really prove out those concepts, you know, we can do away with like the archaic ideas of like labels owning your, you know, your license to your music and having you as an artist really focus on growing and expanding your brand through, you know, community outreach. And that's where I think Web3, you're very uniquely enabled to do that. But I also think it's a nice addition right now to Web2, because you can build those solid communities of like, you know, 1,000 fans. And, you know, even if they're not all willing to spend $100 a year, if you can get 1,000 people to spend, you know, $10, you as an artist can just continue to reinvest that into yourself. And you will get to that point where all of a sudden you're doing what you love and you're being compensated for it at like a fair rate. And I think that's really the goal, is to just support the platforms that are looking to do that.
So talk to me a little bit about what we were having a quick discussion before we started recording, which is artistry being devalued. And if that's not exactly what you were saying, correct what I just said. But I want to hear your thoughts and hear you kind of expand on what you mean by that.
I feel that, you know, we have access to so much, right? We have smart TVs, smartphones, we have access to anything we could ever want on the internet in the form of content that we can just consume. It's readily available. And that sets a precedent of instant gratification. I think that instant gratification really makes it hard for artists of content to continue to put out their content, because these platforms have structured it in a way where even if you're making, you know, short form content, Instagram Reels style content, it's the platform you're doing it on that's taking all that value from you. So it's, you know, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, that's really extracting all of the value out of their users. And the whole content flywheel is a content creator inspires a content creator inspires a content creator, right? If you go back, artists inspire artists all the time. And on these platforms, you have kids that look up to TikTokers, YouTubers who want to become the next Mr. Beast. But in reality, it's kind of dream shattering when you learn that at the end of the day, you know, it all depends on whether advertisers think that you're a marketable person, or that a music label feels that you fit a specific niche, or an A&R likes your music. It's frustrating, because art at its whole is a human expression of emotion. And I feel that that's being devalued through the platforms that we popularize. And so I'm just really excited to see a change in these platforms, new platforms coming out that just change the value creation process. So that way content creators can continue to make the type of art that they love to do. Because when someone's doing what they love, they're going to have the best version of that coming out.
And the way you describe that, it almost sounds like it's this oasis away from the Web 2 business model of music. And, you know, I think it's still up in the air to be decided, you know, whether this Web 3 music is this addition to Web 2, meaning that, you know, it's still streamable and yet there's this kind of top line product that you're selling as a digital collectible, or it's this ability, kind of this, you know, what you said is so deep and powerful, and it's like this artistic integrity for a creator to kind of claw back what's theirs by not needing to kind of play the system of, you know, mass views, mass streams, but to relish back into this true, you know, 100, 1,000 true fans concept, which I truly believe in. And I've definitely talked about on this podcast before, so I'm glad you brought that up. How do you see those, you know, those two worlds blending? Do you see a world where they blend? Like, how would your art, like, if you were going to put a song out, like, what would your strategy, like, your release strategy be for putting a song out? Would it incorporate, like, the Web 2 world as well?
Yeah. I think the best way to describe what I would do is, like, obviously, I would want to release on these major streaming platforms for viewership, right? But I'd want everything to really tie back into the platforms that empower me. And I would want to do that through collectibles myself, personally. I think some of the things that can be done with NFTs are pretty freaking cool, especially like tickets to live events. People love that. But I think that it's hard because, you know, at the same time, you have to get that following from this audience over here and move them over to Web3. And the people who can do that, you know, great. But it's that barrier to entry for a lot of people of getting started in crypto, getting a wallet. And that's where I'm excited about the technology that's being built on Ethereum, the account abstraction, being able to just completely abstract away seed phrases for the end user. So it just feels like I'm signing up for a regular streaming website. And when we have that low barrier of entry with the user interface that's two clicks to do anything, one, two, it's going to be no different than any of the platforms people have previously used, but they get the benefits of the ownership of content. And so it'll kind of be like digital CDs, where I think people will start to collect, you know, WAV files and kind of move into a more like an audio purist experience. And this is also why I'm excited with Son and, you know, the headphones that we've developed, is because as an audio purist myself, that's where I think things are going to go, is this kind of pseudo live experiences where you get to experience sound in a way that just pulls you in to whatever it is that you're doing, whether it's, you know, watching a movie or experiencing a song. It feels like a concert, but you're the only one there.
All right. And before we wrap up, I definitely got to take stock. I have not forgotten. I'm seeing the drip. I'm seeing the shirt. I'm seeing the earbuds. Show it off. Let's see what's going on. Tell them what's going on.
Yeah. So over at Son, you know, we've developed these in-ear monitors that we call Sonware. And what they are is they're the highest quality piece of audio hardware that I've personally ever used. And I'm a self-diagnosed audiophile. I've owned several pairs of over ears and in ears. And these ones, you know, community manager, I have my bias, but these ones, what they do with spatial audio, where I can hear a sound to my left, to my right. And with it being so crisp and clear, but being in ears is a new experience for me because I've only gotten that type of experience from over ears and, you know, really expensive over ears. Never have I gotten that depth of field with an in-ear. And so I feel like that's quite honestly amazing.
Hey, listen, like I said, folks, you know, I'm familiar and I know Jacob because I've seen them in the Twitter spaces, you know, Sans Sound, their project, not to be a total shill, but they do a weekly thing on Twitter spaces. So if you want to learn more, explore more, find out more, there's a place to go. You know where to go. So a super cool man. Yeah, no, I love the merch. Is the t-shirt, can I get one of those too? Is that available on a public store? Is that just for the project?
Right now, it's not available to the public. Oh. Yeah, we did have a little bit of a thing going on where we were giving some out to community members. And this was like, you know what I mean? You had to kind of be there at the right time. And we're definitely going to have some merch coming soon. Don't know how soon, can't speak on that. But for our community, we're going to show some love.
Coming soon, TM. All good, all good. Well, listen, Jacob, like I said, man, I really appreciate it. You know, I know this goes by quick and this is short and sweet, but really it's just, you know, I've always appreciated your takes and, you know, you've always seemed to have like a really passionate, endearing, optimistic and like healthy point of view. It's never like some smoke and mirrors. It never feels like you're trying to like talk some snake oilsy kind of like tactics or anything. So I've always appreciated the just kind of the genuine conversations I've always kind of had with you and have listened to when I've just been kind of chilling in the spaces as I like to do. So before we go, is there anything you want to leave us with? Is there any other projects you're involved with that you want to give a shout out to? Is there anything that's catching your interest or, you know, any kind of words for those listening in terms of how to kind of stay strong in the rest of this bear market?
Yeah, I think, you know, obviously shout out to all of the projects out here who are building in this space right now. If you're building at all, major props, right? Couldn't shout out everybody all at once, but and the thing I'd like to follow up on is, you know, artistry is in it of itself a form of self-discovery. And so somebody that I really enjoy reading about is Friedrich Nietzsche. He's a philosopher. And he came up with this archetype where there's three main archetypes when you're living your life. And that is a camel, a lion, and the child. And so the camel endures, and it endures hardships, it endures, and it endures. The lion goes from endurance into action and into, you know, creating, into succeeding. And then finally, you have the final archetype, the child. And what I love about this is that the child's only goal is to experience novelty. Each and every experience is new, fun, this like kind of chase for like wonder. And I feel like the end goal of every single artist is to go from the camel to the child, because who doesn't want to just do what they love and just love what they do? And everything just seems to work.
Man, I mean, how could you not end on a better note than that? Jacob leaving us with total, I mean, if you don't think that's alpha, then you totally got your shit out of line and out of whack in this world, because that was deep. I love it. And people should strive to be exactly what you said, to, you know, to stay young, to stay excited, to stay enthusiastic, and to always be able to see the positive in things. And I think, you know, you lead by example. So I'll conclude by saying thank you by leading by example. We definitely need more positive examples in the crypto and Web3 space. And last but not least, let the people know where they can follow you. Give them the X/Twitter at handle.
My handle has changed. It's now CRI3, baby, cry baby, because every time I look at my portfolio in this bear market, I cry a little bit.
There you go. All right. So make sure you follow Jacob for more alpha, for more positivity in this crypto space. That wraps everything up for this week. I want to thank Jacob once again for being such a special guest and kind of just, you know, enlightening us with his presence, with the way he kind of sees the world, sees the crypto space, sees music, and really the way he wants to see, envisions kind of the integrity of artists and their careers, you know, for creators to, you know, kind of take that back, to claim that back, and not have to sell out to either just kind of the big industry or the big platform, whether it's, you know, these social media platforms or whatever it is. So I really appreciate that take. I think it's really healthy, and I think it's really in line with what kind of the music NFT space is all about. So I love that. And that's really everything we've got for this week. So make sure you follow the podcast at TGM NFT Pod. Of course, you know that short for the greatest music NFT podcast show. Make sure you follow me at Beaks Vibe. And make sure you still check these avatar videos. And we've got Jacob on video, so this is going to be super dope. And this is going to be on YouTube and on Twitter. And then, of course, you can listen to these podcasts wherever they are streamed for free. So that's it. And we will see you same time, same place next week.